We are living in interesting times. That's an understatement. Tonight I'm going to talk about a couple of things. One is suddenly seasons, because that's where we are right now, and the anointing of acceleration. In Joel chapter 2, verse 25, in the Amplified, it says, "I will restore or replace for you the years the locust has eaten." We've all experienced some locust seasons, if we're honest. There's been some things consumed that shouldn't have been consumed. These are seasons where poor decisions, missed opportunities, or prolonged battles leave us in the aftermath looking at what should have been and what was lost. Have you ever been there? Joel names it plainly. The locust devours years, not just moments. See, if we don't take authority over the time the Lord's given us, the enemy will devour it before us. Over time, unrelenting disappointment begins to work on our hearts. Scripture tells us in Proverbs 13:12, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick." When expectations go unmet long enough, discouragement does not just visit, it sets up camp. It settles in. It is in those moments we discover a holy truth. The only way out is God's goodness and grace. It's the only way we can get out of hopelessness and despair. See, God compounds time. We serve a God who compounds time, and I'm going to try not to talk about time tonight. God does something only He can do. He takes our most valuable and irretrievable commodity and supernaturally compounds it to our account. How many of you like compound interest? Well, God's compounding is the best there is. You know that if you, this is an aside, and someone's going to pull out their rabbit gun in a minute. If you sow and believe the Bible, it says He will return to you 1,000%. How many of you like that type of return on your investments? If you don't, boy, you need to go see Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus said when He talked about the minas, 1,000% return. What was delayed, Father wants to accelerate. That's where we are right now in time. What was stagnant suddenly begins to move. Amos prophesied this way. Yes, indeed, it will not be long now. Yes. God's decree. Things are going to happen so fast your head will swim. Yes. One thing fast on the heels of another. Things are going to happen so fast. How many of you want your head to swim? That's how He's doing things right now, and we got to keep focused on Him, which was what Alan's message was about for communion. You won't be able to keep up at the speed He's going to be doing things. We're going to see in a minute how they're happening this year. Everything will be happening all at once, and everywhere you look, blessings. How many of you want blessings that overtake blessings? Yesterday's blessings won't be as good as the blessings He wants to pour out on us tomorrow. Blessings like wine pouring off the mountain hills. That's Amos 9:13 in the Message. Elijah experienced this physically when, as we see in the Amplified versions of Kings 18:46, the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. He girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel, nearly 20 miles. He out-sprinted a horse for 20 miles. Ron and I have been comparing our track days. Ron was a sprinter, I was a distance runner, but none of us outran a horse for 20 miles. This is the suddenly of God, the things that we can't imagine. He's ready to break forward in the earth realm. This is what Scripture reveals as an anointing of acceleration. This is the anointing Holy Spirit is pouring out on His bride today. It is not striving harder if I just do this, if I just read the Bible more, if I just do this and this and this. No. It is God moving faster, or more appropriately, it is God allowing us to experience how he moves. It is his grace advancing what human effort could not. This is the anointing we're embracing both corporately and individually. God speeding up his destined plans because of his goodness. He has so much goodness he wants to pour out. He wants to do it now. How many of you want him to do it now? So, who is this for? If any of these statements resonate with you, you may already be qualified for the anointing of acceleration. You feel behind in your purpose. Don't raise your hands, because I answered yes to all of them. Doors will not open even though you are prepared for them to open. That's a spirit of delay. You have invested time and effort, but you see little fruit. You have sown much and reaped little. You have endured intense spiritual resistance and distraction. God spoke a promise to you, but it has not come to pass. Today is the 21st. 40 years and 15 days ago, the Lord asked us to stay in Rochester. 42 years for God, for us is an hour for God. He asked us to do something. He made a whole bunch of prophetic promises. They're in our prophetic journal. I pulled it out this morning to begin reading it again. If you have prophetic words, pull them out, because Father is waiting to activate them when your faith to speak them back into the atmosphere takes place. If you've ever received a prophetic word, a prophetic presbytery, pull those words out and say, God, thank you. You said this. And he's spoken things he is still doing, and he's spoken things he is yet to do, but we know he's going to do them because he spoke them. Don't think that because it's been, it's a week since they prophesied over me. Well, it's been 10 years. How would you like to be Jesus? How long was it since Isaiah prophesied the virgin would give birth before that prophecy became a reality and we could eventually come back in to right standing with God? See, each of these questions is not a sign of disqualification. These are often the conditions which precede divine acceleration. We've been experiencing delay, and Father's just waiting for us to say, but God, you're moving. And all of a sudden, he releases what you've been waiting for. So what happens when acceleration comes? Here's some things we experience when God releases this anointing. There is divine empowerment, and purposes move exponentially faster. We've seen this over the years where we've been praying for something, and all of a sudden we step into the space where God is moving, and the things that we were praying about break through. I'm going to tell you one that's happening right now in a few minutes. Hindrances and delays are removed. I don't know about you, but I've had a lot of snow this winter. Those were hindrances and delays. Some days I couldn't get out of my driveway until I removed them. Well, there's spiritual hindrances that your enemy has put on your path. God didn't put them there. He's waiting for us to speak his word with faith so that he can send the angels. Some of them were released over the house tonight when we were sending the Douglases out. That's what sound does. It allows the angels to be activated. Some of you were like me. You began a little bit of a dance when they were playing. Heaven speeds up your journey. I got news for you. Plan to be early. If we go about moving in the time we're in right now, moving at the same pace we moved in, and say, well, I'll just get there when I get there. Yeah, I'm only going to be 5 minutes late. Plan to be there early. You know when some of the best stuff happens in this house? During the pre-service, when the angels are dancing. Because the people who got here were expecting. Allow Holy Spirit to speed up your timing. Another thing that happens is God shortens timelines and increases the impact. What you thought was going to take days and weeks and months, all of a sudden it happens in the blink of an eye. We're seeing nations turn right now. We're seeing generations turn right now. Some of you say, well, I've been praying 40 years. Well, that's not even an hour. Keep praying. Do you know how long it took to overturn Roe versus Wade? An hour and 10 minutes almost. In God's time. 50 years in our time. Another thing that happens is movement toward his intention intensifies. If you don't know Father's intention, his purpose, his plan, his destiny for your life, ask him. He wants you to know who you are in him. He wants you to know why he created you the way he created you. He wants you to know the gifts he's put inside of you that have lain dormant. And for a season, sometimes he'll ask you to put that down so he can bring another gift in beside it and have a synergy of your gifts release a greater measure of his presence. What normally takes many steps collapse into one when you move in an anointing of acceleration. What should take years unfolds in a moment. We're seeing that around the earth in the past 2 years, especially in the last 6 months. We see this pattern in Abraham and Sarah. The promise they received seemed to be dormant, but suddenly it was activated. When God breathed on Abraham and Sarah, on Abram and Sarai, he released hay into them, his breath. He put an H, hay, in their name, and all of a sudden, a barren 90-year-old woman and a barren 100-year-old man had the promise fulfilled. None of us are 100 yet, so there's still hope. Let him breathe in you. How does he breathe in you? You ask him. I'm foolish enough to say, breathe on me. Sometimes we sing that song. Breathe on me, Lord. If you're trying to get by on yesterday's breath of the Holy Spirit, it's like the deep sea diver who wants to go with the tank that he hasn't refilled. You don't stay down too long. When Abraham and Sarah had God breathe on them, all of a sudden resources aligned in the earth realm for them. People shifted in their attitude toward them. Time compressed for them. God did in a season what human logic says was impossible. He's done that in my life. I'm not going to get into it, but you can ask me later. He's moved in ways that people, other scientists said was impossible, but God. Our response to the suddenlies of God require two simple acts. Do you want the suddenlies of God? Here's the two simple acts. Acceleration is not earned. It's received. There's nothing we can do to earn the accelerated anointing of the Holy Spirit. Scripture gives us two simple responses. The first is invite Jesus into your situation. How many of you tried to do something and after you said, oh man, I forgot Jesus. I left him on the back of the bus. I put him right next to my lunchbox. And I never asked him to come do what he said he would do. We see this in John 6:21 in the Amplified. Then they were quite willing and glad for him to come into the boat. And now the boat went at once to the land they had steered toward, and immediately they reached the shore toward which they had been slowly making their way. When Jesus steps into your situation, distance collapses, resistance disappears. How many of you'd like to have him in your boat? You know, we're in the midst of the Winter Olympics right now. The Summer Olympics are coming up in a couple years, and they would love to have him in their skulls when they do the rowing. Because as soon as he gets in your boat, distance collapses. The second thing you have to do is choose to believe God again. Have I made you too small in my eyes? Oh, Lord, forgive me. That I have believed in a lie you were not able to help me. Remember when we used to sing that? But now, O Lord, I see my wrong, heal my heart, and show yourself strong. Believe God again. He's waiting for you to just tell him, I believe. Ask him right now. If there's something you need him to do, I believe you, God. Am I the only one that did it?
I did.
The front and the back of this side did it. Anytime there's something that you're seeing delay, believe God for his breaker anointing, his anointing of acceleration. We see this in Luke chapter 5, verse 5 in the Amplified. And Simon Peter answered, Master, we toiled all night exhaustingly and caught nothing in our nets, but on the ground of your word, I will lower the nets again.
Amen.
Believing God again is often harder than believing him the first time because we get in the way. I know what it feels like to wait on God, 40 years of waiting and still waiting. But now instead of waiting and fretting, I'm rejoicing in the waiting because I know he's about to move. He knows when I'm going to breathe my last. I don't. But he's made Casey and I some promises that we're seeing accelerate in this season.
Yes.
I saw them in the Douglas family because there were promises when they came to fellowship with us here. Even after we share the promise with others, oh, guess what God just said to me? 20 years later, are you still rejoicing and guess what God said to me? You need to be. Because 21 years for you and me is 30 minutes for God. And he might just be about to break through in the thing you've been believing him for. We wait. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. Many times, waiting can make you question the word, the timing, and even yourself. Isn't that what happened in the garden? Did God really say? And all of a sudden you're saying, did God really say? I love part of Lisa's testimony. On her bathroom mirror, it says, whose report will you believe? We need to remind ourselves, he's faithful. If he said it, we just have to rejoice he's in the process of doing it. Remember, the Hebrew definition for the words translated in English as wait means something much more than you and I think. We see in Isaiah 40, verse 31 in the Amplified, but those who wait for the Lord, who expect, look for, and hope in him, shall change and renew their strength and power. They shall lift up their wings and mount up close to God as eagles. Mount up to the sun. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint or become tired. I could have used that the other day when I was doing my driveway. In Lamentations 3:25. The Lord is good to those who wait hopefully and expectantly for him, to those who seek him, inquire of and for him, and require him by right of necessity and on the authority of God's word. Are we really waiting for him that way? The Hebrew word used for wait in these verses and several other Old Testament passages is an ancient Hebrew root word, kavav. It means binding together or perhaps twisting. Ladies, it literally means to be braided in like you braid your hair. Are you really braided into the Lord? I'll wait for you, God. He's not saying, you know, just chill a little bit. He's saying, be so connected with me that when I move, you move. Remember the four wheels within the wheels in Ezekiel? When they moved, everything moved. That's how he wants you and I to be, waiting on him, so bound together with him that when he moves, all of a sudden, suddenly, do you know what it means to be transported someplace? It means you don't buy an airline ticket. All of a sudden, God moves you to where he wants you to be. It's happening. By the way, this Hebrew word kavav is a vav word, and we're in the year of vav, in the pay decade. So this is a very timely word for wait. If we want the suddenly seasons and the anointing of acceleration from God, we have to be bound to him. He's going to move so fast, it's like being on one of these roller coasters. If you're not strapped in, it's going to go that way. Holy Spirit's going to go that way, and you're going to go someplace you don't want to be. We have to be so bound to him, his purposes, and his timing. When he moves, we just go with him. Yes, I will wait upon the Lord. This is what I tell him. Lord, I will wait upon you. How do I need to be bound to you more closely? Repentance is the start. By the way, delay is not denial. Too many people give up on God's promises because there was a delay, and they begin to deny that it was ever spoken to them, either through the reading of the word or prophetically or through a word of knowledge, because it didn't happen instantaneously like mashed potatoes in a microwave. They say it couldn't have been God. By the way, I do not like mashed potatoes from a microwave. We grow our own mashed potatoes. There's a little bit of work once we get them out of the ground, though. God's promises do not expire. Too many of us think that we're living in a time frame where the barcode on God's word is about to give up. Time does not weaken his word. The more faith we believe toward him, it amplifies and accelerates what he wants to do through us. Does God honor faith? That's what he's working in us. Like Peter, faith says, at your word. We must choose to trust again after disappointment. It is often in this moment of renewed belief, acceleration begins. So let's get ready to move. So I want to transition into some thoughts on 2026 and 5786, the Hebraic year we're in right now. We are closer to the day of the Lord than we have ever been in the last 2,000 years. So many people say, it's so far off. Well, there's scriptures I read that say we're almost in the last day. I don't know when the last day is going to be. Someone asked me the other day, can you predict the winner of every Super Bowl game? I have for the last 60 years. The one with the most points. Don't let people get you tied up in a knot of what you can and cannot do. Bust their chops back. And sometimes, yes, he does show me who is going to win. But you know what? It's not for public consumption. Just because he shares something with you because he loves you doesn't mean you can go out and lay a big bet on it. Individuals, families, communities, and nations must make a decision in this season, 2026, 5786, and whom they will serve. We see this in Joel 3:14. The next 4 years of this pay decade, that's from now until the fall of 2029, we are all in the valley of decision. That's where we are right now. We have to decide whether we're going forward with God or we're going to condescend and take on the ways of the world. In the next 5 years and beyond, nations will be forced to choose their alignment, their direction, and the source of their authority. That's what's happening in the earth realm right now. You must decide how you will impact these decisions for your community, your region, your state, and your nation. You are a portal of heaven. And this year, we say you are the Vav connecting heaven to earth. You are the person everywhere you go, Father wants to pour Holy Spirit through so the sound that's in heaven can be released through you in the places he's called you to serve and prosper. As the harvest of souls increases, the spiritual battle between good and evil is going to become more prevalent this year. All of a sudden, college and high school campuses are having outbreaks of revival and awakening. Hundreds and thousands of youth are asking Jesus to be Lord. They're getting baptized, and they're starting to live radically for him. I think it's even better than what happened in the 1960s and 70s. Because some of us old gray hairs that were in that move are cheering and applauding what Holy Spirit is doing. We can't fulfill what we were meant to do. Remember what the great crowd of witnesses said in the book of Hebrews. They couldn't get their promise until you and I help work what they started so they can get their promise. I'm excited for what he's doing. But all of a sudden now, you're seeing all the antichrist structures. I'm not talking about people. Begin to try and hide and downplay. But guess what? You can't hide the glory of the Lord for very long. High schools and colleges are going to begin to be transformed, reformed, and set free. Just like Hezekiah asked the Lord to extend his time, we are entering into the season of suddenlies I just talked about. Remember, the Lord loves mercy over judgment. If you're asking him to scrunch and squelch and crush, ask him to have mercy on them. How many of you prayed for Mayor Mondami to be saved today? Well, there's two of us. He loved me so much, he took me out of the muck and the mire I was in as a hippie. He loved me so much, he saved my life when I could have been killed four times. And many of you have known us in 1986, literally, I should have been killed. And I didn't have a scratch on me. We need to be in the place where we know that the Lord wants to use us because his mercy always triumphs over judgment. In this time of transition until Pentecost, 5786, which is May 21st this year on our calendar, be sure to use this time of suddenlies and acceleration to speak his mercy over the war seasons which are surrounding us. There's a war for your family. There's a war for your lineage. There's a war for your job. There's a war for your salvation. There's a war for your wealth. There's wars the enemy's trying to consume us in. But you know what? My Bible said Jesus already won them all. And all I need to do is be bound to him and move with him. And he'll move us into his suddenlies. Speak his mercy over the war strategies and seasons surrounding you so your nations and the ethnos of the earth can choose to realign with righteousness, peace, and joy, which is only found in the kingdom of God. Do you know right now there is such great awakening happening in the Middle East? Do you know as much as the Prince of Persia, it's a demonic principality, is trying to destroy Iran, people are getting saved and born again. And oh, by the way, our mission support from this church goes to help a ministry that reaches 100,000 of them every week. That's what you sow into. Economics of the nations will be the primary issue moving through the rest of 2026. We saw that just this past week. The enemy does not want you to prosper. I don't know about you, but 3 John 2 says, I desire you prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. So if I'm going to prosper, first my soul has to prosper. So if you've got anything that's hindering your soul, ask the Lord to deliver you. If you can't get set free, ask Tina or Alan. If you're a woman, ask Tina. If you're a man, ask Alan. And we'll help you get ministry to get set free from the thing the enemy's trying to hold you back in. Who rules the economy is going to be the real issue all of the nations of the earth will face in the next 12 to 24 months. Intercession will be the key to what forces win this struggle. Do you know the body of Christ wins? But it's going to take some pretty intense intercession. Intercession. We must know our authority, move in creativity and stewardship of what God has entrusted to us, rather than get ensnared in public policies. If you are watching the news more than 30 nanoseconds, which is pretty small, if you're watching the news more than a minute to see what's happening in the headlines, you are being consumed with things the Lord doesn't want you consumed with. He knows the end from the beginning of every matter. So why aren't I asking him? I finally figured out a few years ago why they called them talking heads. Because there's no substance to them. They just are confusing your heads. Our port cities. Did you know Rochester's a port city? Do you know Spencerport is a port city? Fairport is a port city? Brockport is a port city? They're all ports on the canal. Every port is important to the Lord. But our port cities that are national boundaries like Rochester, it's the northernmost port in New York State other than Oswego. Do you know what Oswego means in Haudenosaunee? The place of the outpouring. That's what the First Nations named it, the place of the outpouring. Do you know that Oswego, New York is the only place in North America that allowed a shipload of Jewish refugees to come in when they were fleeing Germany in World War II? Do you think there's going to be an anointing in the place of the outpouring? I'm looking forward to what he's going to do because someone was faithful enough to say yes. Breakthrough comes when God... His will aligns with human obedience. Breakthrough doesn't come when I'm walking in rebellion. When I'm walking in obedience to his word and his will, then all of a sudden breakthrough comes. His breaker anointing comes when you suddenly have been aligned with heaven and earth, and then God will find a portal. It will usually be you or the person sitting next to you. See, we're in a season right now where he wants to use you as a portal, not just to vav heaven to earth, but he wants you to be the portal that hears what he's saying, sees what he's doing. Does it sound like Jesus? And then say it and do it in the earth realm. There's nothing special about any one of us except Jesus in you is the hope of glory. Yeah. Remember, this entire paid decade is about who rules the atmosphere with their voice. So the enemy's trying to shut us up when we should be agreeing with heaven and releasing heaven into the earth realm. Do not let your spiritual enemies silence you or take away your spiritual authority. In 2026, there will be a maturation in your prophetic degrees to shape the spiritual climates of the places Holy Spirit leads you to. That was some of the words over the Douglas family. And by the way, if you heard a word tonight and it resonates with you, tell him you want him to do it through you too. That's how he works. It's his word anyhow. Continue to pray for Israel. I'm not even going to ask. Continue to pray for Israel because Father's eye is on Israel from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible. Israel is key to what happens in the body of Christ. Pray for our nation to enter into covenant with Israel. New York State used to have a strong covenant with Israel. Our current leaders don't think it's that important, but I'm believing they're going to have a change of heart. And we will once again have a covenant root with Israel that will bring the presence of the Lord to New York State, that will dwarf anything that happened in the 1830s to the 1850s when Charles Finney came through. How many of you want something greater? Yes. We have to be in line with God in covenant and with those God is in covenant with. Remember, Jesus said he would build his governing ecclesia. You are his governing people in Monroe County. Believe it or not, you are the spiritual authorities in Monroe County. When you are in agreement with heaven, you can speak into the earth realm what Father is speaking about Monroe County, about Rochester, about your neighborhood, about your town, about Monroe County, about the village, about New York State. It's nothing mystic about it. Jesus said in Acts 1:8, you will be filled with the Holy Spirit, and then you will move in his power in Jerusalem, Rochester, Judea, Monroe County, Samaria, the rest of New York State, and the uttermost parts of the earth. You don't even have to travel to do it. You just have to speak it. You'd be amazed what happens in the dark in my living room in the morning, because you're eavesdropping on my conversations with God right now. And he says, say this. I try not to wake Casey up. She's glad he's never told me to blow the shofar. Have I? At 4 in the morning?
No.
Okay. When I think it's time for her to get up, then I'll blow it. So Jesus wants to use you. In 2026, he wants to use every believer in Shepherd's Heart Christian Fellowship, and he wants us to examine how spiritual authority operates in our spheres of influence. I happen to believe what the Bible says when Jesus said he's given you all authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. That means if I don't use it, I've abused it. Finally, do not get caught up focusing on the immediate situations and seasons. How many of you like the tyranny of the urgent? I hate the tyranny of the urgent. We were created as a prophetic people in his image and likeness to be able to see into the future, to move with vision, allowing us to reconcile the past, act wisely in the present, and then prepare for what Father shows us is coming ahead. This is where we are in 2026. He's given us a break. In early January, he released a word that New York City has 12 months to get their act together. He called us to go on 12 three-day fasts. I just finished my second one. To pray for his will to be done in New York City. By the way, the government of New York City was corrupt before they elected a Muslim. It's not about Mandami. It's about the King of Glory wanting to be the King of Glory in your heart, in your home, in your city, in New York City, in Albany, in Washington, D.C., everywhere. And only we can invite the King of Glory in. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors. So who? The King of Glory can come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. The literal translation in most Bibles is Adonai Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. He is the King of Glory. He's waiting for you and me to welcome him into the 12 gates of our house, our town, our city, our county, everything. As global uncertainty increases and prophetic voices point to heightened spiritual tension, I don't get into those prophetic voices. Is God a God of chaos? He may show you the chaos, but he's going to show you his solution to bring righteousness, peace, and joy, and the power of his Holy Spirit to bear. Remember, discernment, spiritual clarity, and strength in the Lord are essential for us to respond faithfully unto God and whatever may come our way. If I'm not moving in discernment of what's happening, if I'm not moving in spiritual clarity and the strength of the joy of the Lord, the enemy's going to eat my lunch. But fortunately, he ain't going to even get a bite. I'm not sharing my lunch with him. I remember when the kids used to look in their lunch boxes. Lisa's got stories about our kids' lunch boxes. Oh, carrots. What you got over there? I'll swap you. Throughout 2026, remember, Scripture consistently calls us to watch, listen, stand firm, and anchor our confidence in the unchanging character and sovereignty of God. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Nothing changes. And when we know that, you will not hear any authority in the voice, did God say. So I want to pray briefly over you. In 2026 and beyond, I say the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you. So when you look at him, you see his eyes and you know his ears are focused on your voice. And the Lord give you peace in Jesus' name. Father, I send my brothers and sisters to prosper and be in health. I send Alan and Tina Fess to complete their assignment in the Midwest. I say, Lord, give them your breaker anointing over these next 7 to 10 days that vanquishes everything which has been spoken against them. And we say, let the testimony be so sweet, it will cause even their relatives who do not know you to bow their knee. Father, I say, bless my brothers and sisters as they go. Bless them as they worship you in their homes and every place you send them. I say, Lord, prosper them because their soul delights in you. In Jesus' name.